I've been around a lot longer.
Yeah, it's true. You do have a cockroach effect.
Can't get rid of them.
Donovan McNabb is with us today.
CJ Fair joins us.
We are joined to open the show by Josh Black.
Just overall competition, right? That's exactly what we needed for this team.
1-10 is not something you really want to use as fuel.
If Steve got in a fight, I'd come to his defense because he's my bro.
If you were on the ropes, I would have stepped in. You didn't need my help.
Hands off. Tucker feels his way in around his own man, and he scores untouched. It's a touchdown for Sean Tucker.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. No Paulie Sebelia today. He's off. Stephen Fonte, Mario Sacco with you today up until 2 o'clock. We've got three guests lined up for you coming up at 12:30. We're going to talk some SU football, Wake Forest football with Les Johns. He's the publisher of Demon Deacon Digest at 24/7 Sports as we preview a big game inside the Dome Saturday. Demon Deacons, of course, ranked in the top 20, coming to town undefeated. Cuse at 3-2, looking to bounce back from that heartbreaking loss to Florida State. Eric Diemendorf joins us at 1 o'clock, and then our good friend Mike Waters from Syracuse.com. And a contributor to the Orange Nation TV show. He'll join us at 1:30 as we talk some SU basketball. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at any time. 315-437-7644. How are you today, Mario?
Steve, good seeing you. Wish the Yankees outcome would have been a little different, but I'm sure Red Sox fans...
You don't care.
You're right.
You don't care at all.
For TV purposes, I care, because that gave us a couple of some content.
Does give us something to talk about, and for radio purposes, for that matter. They gave us something to talk about today. A lot to get to from that game last night. And again, we'll open it up to our listeners at 315-437-7644. Two things come to mind from that game. There's obviously the Garrett Cole piece of it. You pay him $324 million to win a game like that, and he just didn't have his stuff last night. And, you know, Aaron Boone wasn't shy to take him out of the game. I mean, one of the strengths of this Yankees team is its bullpen. Their ace didn't have his stuff. He's not why they lost the game last night.
You got to score runs, and
you do.
They couldn't hit Nathan Eovaldi. That Boston bullpen hasn't been fantastic all year, and you couldn't get to him. I mean, you had a home run by Stanton in the ninth that really didn't mean anything, and Stanton came about a foot and a half away from three home runs last night, hitting it off the Green Monster a couple of times, so you can't blame him. But I am going to pin it on Garrett Cole, Steve. You pay that guy that amount of money to go out and give you six-plus innings of work, and you can't even get through the second inning. And he was roughed up, and it reminded me of him pitching in a playoff game in Pittsburgh a long, long time ago, and Schwarber taking him deep. It was kind of like deja vu all over again for Garrett Cole.
You're just bitter because he's a former Pirate. That's why you're bitter about Garrett Cole.
A little bit.
I don't know. I guess we look at it differently. Not a great look, obviously. I mean, you want your ace to go out there, and you know, we discussed it yesterday. The plan was for him to get it through at least five and then turn it over to your bullpen, and I think you'd feel pretty good about that. It didn't happen. He didn't make it out of the third inning. He's down 3-0. But where I was going with that is you alluded to it about scoring runs, and that's been a problem with this team all season long. When they hit home runs, they win. When they don't hit home runs, they lose. And you go to the sixth inning, and that was the key play of the game, the key point in the game. So Rizzo just hit the home run. It's 3-1. Judge is on first. Stanton, you know, smashes one off the Green Monster. And Phil Nevin decides to try and have Aaron Judge score from first. Obviously, looking back, it was the wrong move. He's thrown out by a mile.
But was it the wrong move, Steve? And
yes.
Here's what I'm going to preface this by saying. You had Joey Gallo hitting behind him.
Right.
Joey Gallo has two sack flies in his career.
Sure.
Of scoring a runner from third. If his career, not right. Just like that season, he doesn't do it. So you wanted to put the pressure on the defense to make two good throws, and they did that. Yes, Judge was out by 10 feet. But, you know, you're not saying the same if that second throw is in the dirt or up the line and Judge is sliding in safely. You wouldn't be questioning.
Well, it's the wrong baseball play. It is. With less than two outs, it's the wrong baseball play. And I was going to go back to the fact that Gallo was on deck. If you are that concerned that you're...
Why is he batting?
Number four hitter in your lineup is not going to be able to come through. Isn't that a problem?
Oh, 100%
it's
a problem.
It's interesting because As soon as the lineups were announced last night, I get a text from my dad. Gallo hitting fourth, three question marks. I can show it to you.
Was the first one Anthony Rizzo at the top?
So, I know Gallo had been batting fifth, and they moved him up one spot. He shook up the lineup a little bit last night. But if you're number four, if you don't trust your number four hitter that much, that with the momentum starting to turn in your favor, and you would have had first and third. I know a lot of people are saying second and third. Stanton went to second on the throw. He would have been first and third with one out, yeah, with Joey Gallo at the plate, your number four hitter in the lineup. If you are that concerned about letting that guy swing the bat with momentum in your favor and you know, Nathan Eovaldi on the ropes, like
they had three guys in that lineup, Steve, that could have caused harm against Boston last night. DJ LeMahieu being out what hurt you tremendously at the top of the lineup. And then that's where you had to shuffle everything. Do you put Anthony Rizzo up there, or do you put Brett Gardner batting leadoff and know that you're going to start with an out right away? I mean, it didn't help that right away the Yankees weren't taking any pitches. Eovaldi got through the first inning on, what, 5-6 pitches?
Yeah, you got Rizzo to swing the very first pitch of the game.
I agree with you that why is Joey Gallo in that spot if you don't trust him? But you haven't been able to trust him since.
No, I know.
On Boone.
I know, so we go back to, should Phil Nevin have tried to score Judge on the play? And I will stand by that and say no. Not only was he thrown out by a mile, but that is just, it's the wrong baseball play there. And if it first and third with one out, and if you don't trust your number four hitter, then there's a bigger problem. And it's been a problem for the Yankees all season long. If they hit home runs, they win. If they don't, they lose. They didn't last night, and they lost. And frankly, they don't deserve to advance. On paper, this looked like a really good team, but they have been a flawed team the entire year. And when they got hot, they collectively got hot, and they went on a big winning streak.
They got hot because they were not playing, you know, home run derby baseball. They were playing small ball of stealing bases, and that's when they got hot, and then they went away from it, hitting home runs, losing games after that long winning streak, and then kind of held on down the stretch to get that wild card. I mean, heck, the last game on Sunday, they scored one run to win the baseball game. So, as you mentioned, this team was flawed all year. If it be, you know, starting pitching, if it be, you know, not scoring runs, they'd scored in bunches and then go games where they would, you know, wouldn't score any. So, a lot of question marks, and the question mark at the top is Aaron Boone coming back?
Yeah, and we were just about to get to that. Let's go there now. I'll just say this. You know, Cole left, the score was 3-0. I know, again, not ideal, but they have a good enough bullpen that the Yankees were still in that game. To me, it's their failure. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a combination of both. Cole wasn't good, and they couldn't score runs. But for me, the bigger issue is this team just couldn't score runs unless they hit it out of the park. Getting to Boone, his contract's up. I was reading a stat today that the last Yankee manager, the last time that the Yankees brought back a manager for a fifth year without a World Series title. Do you happen to see this stat?
I have not.
Do you have any idea? Just to throw a year at me, because you're not going to get the manager's name. Tommy's on the board today. Tommy, you're a Yankee guy. Do you have any idea?
5 consecutive years that, like, going. I can't go back like way back because they're winning World Series every year.
You got to go way back.
I do, because I'm looking at the stat as we speak.
1922. So that's a pretty darn good guess there, Mario. It's been essentially 100 years. It's 100 years because next year's 2022. 100 years. The last time the Yankees brought back a manager who had gone 5 years without winning a World Series title. My guess is he's not coming back. I feel like that's a tough sell to the Yankee fan base, because he, again, whether it's his fault or not, you know, whether you want to point the finger at Brian Cashman or not, or the players, they have not lived up to expectations year in and year out under Aaron Boone. And, you know, you expect championships. You expect to at least compete for championships and be in the mix for championships, and they haven't done that.
When you look, Steve, at that team constructed the way it is compared to what Tampa has been able to do over these last 2 years, what Boston was able to do with their young talent this year. You know, and you're looking at other teams around the league, what the White Sox were able to do. That team isn't constructed to win in the postseason.
Right.
And who is that on? Brian Cashman is the one that gave away all their homegrown talent, or if it wasn't even in the system, you know, him to draft it. And the way the team was constructed this year, it just wasn't constructed to be a playoff baseball team.
Now, it's interesting because
they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to win a lot of games because they're going to outslug you during the regular season when you're facing, you know, the Pirates' fourth starter.
It's interesting because if you listen to the experts who cover this team on a regular basis and who are, you know, have contacts inside that clubhouse, they will tell you that there is more support for Brian Cashman within that organization than Aaron Boone, which I find interesting because I don't think you're wrong, Mario, by, you know, saying that this team had flaws in terms of how it was constructed. But the thinking, I think, within that clubhouse and really within Major League Baseball is that Brian Cashman knows what he's doing. And whether it's fair or unfair, I think the perception is that Aaron Boone is kind of the scapegoat in this situation.
Cashman's got to be a little bit of a scapegoat of bringing Joey Gallo in, sure, and batting 199.
Sure.
You know, and other... You can't blame, obviously, injuries of, you know, DJ LeMahieu going down the last week of the season. Luke Voit, you know, who probably would have played in that baseball game last night, going down and going on the IL. But the fact is, you didn't surround yourself around it with a team capable of... Look how Boston won that game last night. You know, they got, what, 5-plus innings from Nathan Eovaldi, you know, relied on their bullpen. But as a team, collectively, they Verdugo, you know, a guy that came through in the clutch. Devers has been playing great, carried them over the last couple of games. Bogarts, who wasn't even doing anything coming into it. So it was a collective effort. When you look at the Yankees team, if Judge isn't doing it, if Stanton's not doing it, they're not winning baseball games.
Yeah. Well, again, not on those guys last night. I mean, they went combined 4-for-8 last night. It was not on them. It was on everything else. And Cole, listen, for whatever reason, Sox had his number this year.
Yeah.
His ERA against Boston this year is over 5.
In Boston, he gave up the most runs that he's given up at any stadium pitching in his career.
Now, with that being said, for $324 million, for him to go out in a one-game playoff and have the shortest start of his career, that's a bit concerning.
Wasn't it concerning, though, over the last couple of outings from him of what he, I don't know if it'd be fatigue or what, but, I mean, he was getting shelled over his last few outings. He had one good outing over his last 4.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that health was an issue. You know, they alluded to that going into the start, that he's not 100% healthy. But
who are you going
to
throw out there?
Right. That's where Esther I was just going to go with that, is that, you know, he's the guy that you trust the most. You know, even if he's 80%, he's the guy you trust the most. Our good friend Tommy Hogan's running the board today. I could say, Paulie always gives me a problem when I say our good friend. You're a good friend, right?
You mean Tommy, it when you say it this time, yeah.
I do.
Good.
You're a Yankee guy.
Yes, I am.
Who do you point the blame?
I don't know. I think the offense is, there's a lot of blame. You're not going to win many postseason games scoring only 2 runs. But yeah, Gerrit Cole obviously coming out too, only throwing, not getting out of the 3rd inning, giving up 3 runs is huge. And a 2-run homer in the 1st inning, you're down right off the bat. But I point to the offense more. You have Brett Gardner batting 6th in a wild card game in 2021. That shouldn't be happening.
Back to who you point the finger at all season, though. Do you point a finger on Boone, or was he doing, you know, dealing out the cards that were dealt to him?
Who knows what a manager does nowadays? It's tough. You're probably right. They're going to move on from Boone, but who knows? I think that might just be a symbolic, it's time to move on from this era. Let's move on to the next one. But I don't really know if that'll bring much change. It's more of a philosophy thing with the Yankees, where they, for some reason, think they can have the light switch off during the regular season and just sleepwalk into the playoffs. But that doesn't give you home field advantage. That doesn't give you momentum going into the playoffs, and that's a huge deal that their analytics department doesn't have any value.
It's so much about analytics these days that I'm with you in that, you know, the manager to some degree is a figurehead, but I don't see how they could bring him back because somebody's got to fall on the sword, right?
Yeah.
And if Cashman may end up not being back. I don't know. But if there is support within the organization for Cashman, somebody's got to fall on the sword. for a disappointment, and his contract's up. It's not like you're even firing him. You just don't bring him back. You make a clean break. You bring in somebody else.
If they get rid of Aaron Boone, I don't think he's going to get hired immediately. If they fire Brian Cashman, he gets picked up.
In a day, yes. He'll have offers.
Yes, he's a very good GM. I think the analytics, he has spun that in a bad way, in a way that is not winning ball games. But I think he is a very good roster constructor, very good at making trades. We've seen that with the Yankee young players they have on their team.
All right, let's take our first time out. Phone lines open, 315-437-7644. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation. Check the box.
All right, Stephen Mario back with you here on a Wednesday edition of Orange Nation. I had to stop for a second. Remember what day today is. It's one of those weeks, Mario, where it's all the days run together. It's Wednesday today.
Take the night off.
I may do just that.
Get someone to work for you.
I may do just that.
In this room.
Do you know anybody who might be available? All right, 315-437-7644. We've got the winners on the tickets, but we want to go to the phone lines. We've got Pat in Syracuse up next on the show. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm good, thanks. So I just want to say, even though we lost last weekend, I'm going to get to the Wake Forest game. Even though we lost last week, first of all, Florida State still gets a lot of good athletes. I think the way that Derek Schroeder handled himself that game, I mean, to see the growth from where he was the week before to where he was today, I mean, he was struggling to get touchdowns in the week before and running the offense, and now he kept them in the whole game against four or five-star athletes, you know? It's amazing. You know, everyone was sitting there worried about it. I knew the guy. He's a purebred athlete, man. This guy reminds me very much of a Dungy. I was watching some of his plays. Dungy was a lot more diesel than he was. He's got to put on a little bit of muscle. But, I mean, the way he was doing cartwheels, man, that Derek Dungy epic 101 right there, doing those flips, those aerial flips and right through defenders, and the way he was marching down the field, he I think put up pretty close to 200 yards passing, over 100 plus yards rushing. I mean, that, and he looked comfortable passing too. That was the thing. He took a couple long balls that he made really good long ball throws, which we said going into that game that he was going to struggle with, and he made some really good throws that game. And now another week of full reps with the ones. I mean, I think they can win it.
All right. I appreciate checking in, Pat. I do think they can beat Wake Forest as well. We were talking about this during the break. I think Wake is the best team in the ACC just by process of elimination. I don't think there is this huge gap between Wake and Syracuse.
And I agree with Les, and obviously, I'm a Pitt Panther fan at heart growing up in Western PA, but I think it's Wake Forest and Pitt, and then you go from there. But your top to bottom isn't like your tops of before when it was Clemson competing for national championships. You got a whole bunch of mess of teams that are probably week in and week out within one touchdown of each other. Yeah. And I think you're going to see that again come Saturday, a game that's a one-score game coming down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And can Syracuse pull it out? Going back to Pat's call, and he touched on the play of Garrett Schroeder and trying to throw the long ball was the question coming into the football game. This offense now is not built around having to do that anymore. And you talk about having to stretch the defense, Steve, but this offense isn't that anymore. They're not going to – you're not going to see them. Yes, we would love to see them hit the home run ball every once in a while, maybe to an Anthony Quealy or Courtney Jackson or Alford for that matter. But this offense now is going to be centered around Garrett Schroeder and the way that he runs those RPOs with Sean Tucker. And, you know, we'll take 4 yards and go from there. You're not going to see 15, 20 yards. You're not going to see that out of this offense under Garrett Schroeder, and he ran it. I thought he did great last week. He's got, what, 7 rushing touchdowns in 3 games?
Yeah, he was impressive against Florida State. I am still slightly skeptical about this particular offense.
Florida State put 7 guys. They were,
I know.
And Tucker still had 100 yards, and you scored 30 points, and you had a chance to win a football game.
Right. The game never got out of hand, though, to the point where they had to come back. Where I was going with that before you jumped in was I'm concerned about when they fall behind and they have to score and score quickly. You know, we're talking like second half. And I know they got down by 10, but Florida State never went up by 3 scores. Like, it always felt like Syracuse was in the game. If they get into a situation, and maybe it'll happen Saturday against Wake Forest, if they get into a situation where they need to play from behind, I don't know if they can do it.
I asked the question to myself in the first half when they went down by when they were down 9-0 and the offense wasn't doing anything. I'm like, do you turn to Tommy now?
I think,
and obviously you didn't, and you rode Schrader, and he played a great game. But
well, I asked the question to Stephen Bailey on the TV version of Orange Nation on Monday night about just that. I said, you know, how close do you think Babers was to going to Tommy? Because the first 4 drives, Syracuse had whatever it was, 52 yards in 4 drives. And then all of a sudden, Schrader rips off that 55-yard run for a touchdown. And then you know, things kind of loosen up from there. But up to that point, I think everybody was thinking to themselves, how much longer can they stick with this before they go to a quarterback who can throw the ball?
But do you think that was more of a feeling out period in that first quarter of, here's what they're going to do to stop Sean Tucker? And we adjusted to that.
Well, yes. And Dino said, we're going to try to run the football, and if we can't, we'll go to plan B. I think that was plan B. The problem is I don't know as if there is a plan C. Or I don't know how capable they are of executing
plan
C. Or
when does plan C kick in?
Yeah. Right? Because if plan A is Sean Tucker and plan B is Garrett Schrader on the ground, and plan C is to move the ball through the air, I don't know if they could do it. And, you know, Pat brought up the deep ball. We haven't seen Garrett Schrader complete a deep ball yet. Like, he, you know, he's either underthrown, overthrown, you know, for whatever reason, they have not connected. I haven't seen it. So until I see it, I'm skeptical about whether or not they can stretch the field
just saying,
in that way.
I'm just telling you, I don't think you're going to be seeing it because the offense isn't.
Right. And my response to that is I am skeptical that this is going to work for, you know, 7 more games that they can, that, I mean, they have 30 points against Florida State. I don't know if they can continue to do that given what they're working with. Sean Tucker's great. Garrett Schrader on the ground has been really good. I think they need a little bit more than that to be consistent and to put up those points on a consistent basis. Let's get one more phone call in here before we take our next time out. Daryl in Rome up next on the show. Hey, Daryl.
Afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Hey, I got a... If Frank Cashton is released, excuse me, by the Yankees, perfect place for him would be to come right over and take care of my New York Mets. It'd be perfect. He wouldn't even have to change his address.
I've heard that a couple of times, actually. They just slide on over to Queens.
Yep. Nothing against Sandy Alderson, but Mr. Cashton's a step up above Sandy, let's face it.
Yeah, Theo Epstein today said he didn't want the job. So it's very much a possibility, right? They're looking. They're looking, and I think if Cashman's let go, I mean, he'd be high on their list. I would expect that.
Yeah. One more quick question. Where about this Wake Forest University? Is that down south?
Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did Dino come from before he got the job at SU?
He was at Bowling Green.
Bowling Green. I thought it was like Wisconsin or someplace.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. He was at Bowling Green.
He was an assistant. Wasn't he a defensive coach down there?
No, he was a head coach in two places before he got here, FCS level, and then, you know, for 2 years, and then at Bowling Green for 2 years, and then came here.
He was the head coach at Bowling Green.
Yes, yep for two seasons.
Okay. So it was the Wake Forest coach that they're coaching.
Clawson was there too, but he replaced Clawson at Bowling Green.
Okay, yep.
So that's the connection.
Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate you checking in, Daryl. And I want to add NC State to your list, by the way. You said Pitt, Wake, and then kind of everybody else. I think NC State's got to be in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Clemson.
Clemson, right? Their one loss is to Mississippi State. We do have to take a timeout. We've got Eric Diefendorf set to join us on the other side. As we switch gears, we talk some basketball in hour number 2. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
Are you sure you understand the risks of stock ownership?
Shut up and take my money.
Shut up! I'd buy that for $1.
That guy's turning this place into some kind of business.
I've been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every time. Yeah!
It's time for Buy or Sell on Orange Nation.
No Paulie today. Stephen Fonte, Mario Sacco, as we welcome in our producer, Jordan. How are you today, Jordan?
I'm swell. How are you guys holding up without me?
Good. Good.
No one to yell at yet, Jordan.
We're doing just fine.
Paulie's not here.
We've got Mike Waters coming up in the next segment, so let's keep the basketball talk going, shall we?
Yeah, let's go buy or sell, because you all know him and love him, John Rothstein, CBS Sports. He put out a bunch of tweets last night after visiting SU and watching basketball, talking to Coach Boeheim. Here's the one that has everybody worked up. Early prediction on Syracuse's 21-22 starting five: Joe Girard, Buddy Boeheim, Cole Swider, Jimmy Boeheim, and Jesse Edwards. Do you buy or sell that as the starting lineup Syracuse basketball rolls out?
I'm not surprised at all. I won't be surprised at all if Jimmy starts. I won't be. I remember when the move happened, there's somebody very close to the program who I trust his opinion, and he said at the time, he said it's a no-brainer. He's going to be starting. And I trust him, and I think it does make sense, you know, given who the head coach is, given the fact that he's a fifth-year senior, he's got experience, and, you know, maybe Benny works his way into that job. I think they've got six guys that they feel extremely good about, and I think, you know, somebody's going to come off the bench, and if it's Benny, it's Benny. So be it. I still think he's going to get a lot of time, and if he plays well, he's going to get more time. But no, it will not surprise me at all if Jimmy Boeheim's in the starting lineup, Mario.
I think talk to me 5-6 games into the schedule and what is going on with this basketball team. Has Benny, you know, matured to the level that he's forcing that time, forcing the hand of saying he needs to be out there more? But Coach Boeheim has always said, it's not the person that starts, Steve. It's who's finishing the basketball games at Syracuse. And is Benny Williams going to be in there to finish the basketball games? That is what I'm going to be looking for, especially in these. You might not see it in the exhibition games, but, you know, early on, especially the schedule Syracuse has through the first month and a half of the season.
All right. Another thing John Rothstein tweeted out that has me excited, and I'm sure a bunch of other Orange fans: Buddy Boeheim has noticeably tightened his handle, looks far more comfortable creating off the dribble and initiating things, becoming a more complete player. So what I want to know, we had Marek Dolezal play in that playmaker role last year, and that's not traditional.
So again, I brought up the go ahead. I need to cut you up.
Yeah, no, you're good. Do we buy or sell Buddy Boeheim as Syracuse's playmaker this year?
So I brought up the Jeff Goodman podcast earlier. He had Boeheim on. He had Waters on. He had Eric Dievendorf on. So in the portion that he spoke with Jim Boeheim, he asked him, he said, so who's going to be able to create off the dribble? Something along those lines. And he said, you know, is it Joe Girard, given the fact that he's your starting point guard? So Joe could get by guys. He mentioned Saimir. You know, he mentioned a couple other names. And he brought up Buddy, and he said, I think Buddy can create. I don't think Buddy's blown by anybody. I you know, that's great if he's tightened up his handle. You asked me to buy or sell that, Jordan. I'm not buying Buddy as the creator. That's good if he's worked on his handle to the point he can put the ball on the floor. And I think we saw last year he needs to be able to get in the lane and hit a floater or hit a turnaround 12-footer or whatever the case may be. I don't think they're going to. You know, I don't think he's going to be Magic Johnson all of a sudden tomorrow.
No, and he's not a guy that's going to be blowing by guys to get to the hoop. But tightening the handle, I think, to Coach Boeheim means when he gets in the lane. How many times last year did you see guys ripping the ball out of Buddy when he got in the lane? And that's what I think he means.
He's going to have to find other ways to score than just spot up.
Exactly.
Right.
And we saw that at the end of last year. We saw it against Clemson.
We
saw it against NC State, the way he was able to back down his defenders and shoot up over top of them. Now, what Eric touched on, Steve, was he doesn't need shots this year, hopefully. You know, let the game come to him more, so to say, and that, you know, I guess we'll find out here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it'd be great if he could put the ball on the floor.
Blow by guys, but that's not going to happen.
He's not going to blow by guys, but if he could pull up off the dribble or, you know, he's got a big frame, so if he could back a guy down and, you know, has somebody who's 6'4 on him and shoot over the top of him, yeah.
And down the stretch last year.
What else you got?
Give
us one more.
Okay, we will. I'll give you one more. And hold on, as we get over to the tweets, I apologize. Thought Mike Waters was coming up. Here's one that we're almost playing balderdash that we've played before.
Jim Boeheim tells me that Syracuse's perimeter trio of Joe Girard, Buddy Boeheim, and Villanova transfer Cole Swider is the best shooting perimeter that he's had as the head coach of Syracuse. It makes sense with how the game has changed, but do we buy that, or is this just a lot of hype?
I buy it. I mean, you know, he said it's not even close. I don't know if it's not even close, but you know, he said on the on that podcast that he's got four guys he thinks could be 40% 3-point shooters. Those three, I would assume he's talking about Benny Williams being the other. We looked it up during one of the breaks. Benny shot about 36% last year from 3-point range at the high school level. I would assume he's throwing Buddy Benny in there and not Jimmy, who shot about 31% at Cornell from three. But yeah, if you've got four guys that could fill it up at that kind of clip, yeah, I'll buy that. I think that
you're going to have Syracuse fans pulling out their hair at times if that's what you're relying on. You saw how streaky of a shooter at times Joe could be. Yes, they do have guys that can shoot the ball from the outside. But I mean, I'm not buying right now that this is the best shooting team that he has.
Best shooting perimeter, those three. Can you come up with another trio?
Give me this break, and then I'll.
All right, because I think there's a pretty darn good chance. Well, we'll ask Mike Waters.
Yeah, I think Mike will know 1,000 times more than me. So
I think they've got a chance to be that trio has a chance to be really good when it comes to shooting the basketball. Now, the biggest question is, do they have somebody who can create, which was what we just discussed. That is a bigger question mark for me. But we'll get to Mike Waters on the other side. I know we got to kick you out of the studio, though, Jordan.
Yeah, let's go from threes to bees. When I leave the studio every day, it's brought to you by Bugs Be Gone. If you need help removing pesky pests from your home or your radio studio, as a matter of fact, you can go to bugsbegone.biz. That's Bugs Be Gone with two E's, just like the bug, just like I do to Steve and Mario on Orange Nation.
All right, we're back with Mike Waters right after this on ESPN Radio.